Welcome to the Fearless Beauties Podcast, a space dedicated to shattering beauty standards and celebrating the diversity of the industry. On season 5, we're getting back to our roots with a focus on education on treating melanin-rich skin. We'll be interviewing beauty school owners, entrepreneurs, and instructors as we amplify voices of color, sharing stories of innovation, inspiration, and empowerment. So settle in and get ready to be inspired. Welcome back to Season 5, Episode 5 of the Fearless Beauties Podcast. On today's episode, we'll be diving into what it really takes to secure a genuine connection with clients. I am your host, Alina Velez.
And I'm your co-host, Asia Lowe.
And today, we have our good friend, Iman Godfrey, with us, kindly letting us pick her brain on her experience with connecting with clients. So, hi, Iman.
Hey, how are you girls doing?
Good.
Doing good. We're happy to have you. Well, before we dive into the episode, I just want to share with our listeners a little bit about you. So I'm going to go ahead and read your bio. Iman Godfrey is the founder of Amora Aesthetics, a business born from her love for skincare and helping others. After starting college on a full scholarship for media arts and graphic design, life took an unexpected turn when she met her now husband. By 19, she was engaged and quickly realized her path and goals were shifting. Initially pursuing hair and bridal makeup, Iman discovered her true passion and talent for aesthetics during her time in school in 2010. As a cosmetologist with a diverse career spanning barbershops, med spas, airbrush tanning salons, and luxury day spas, Iman gained extensive experience as a manager, an educator, and trainer. In 2016, after the birth of her son, Iman set a goal to start her own business, prioritizing time with her family while doing what she loved. Fast forward to 2018, Amora Aesthetics was born. Working in the field helped Iman find her niche, build her skill set, and learn the ins and outs of the beauty business. Iman's true focus for her business quickly became skincare, and she built her business on the principle of offering luxury services at affordable prices. As a mother, she understands the importance of me time and aims to make self-care accessible to all. There's nothing more fulfilling for a man than knowing she played a part in helping a client achieve their skincare goals and boosting their confidence. Ooh, you are amazing. I love that. I love it.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's go ahead and just dive right into the first question. So, Iman, how important do you feel first impressions are, and how do you create a memorable first experience for your clients?
Well, I really believe that first impressions are everything. They set the tone for the entire experience. Just think about like when you enter a restaurant or a store, how that makes you feel. It really does make a difference in building a lasting relationship with your client. When someone walks through that door, they need to feel relaxed and genuinely valued from that first step. And their first treatment, we go through like everything, the ins and outs about them, and it's their time. And I really, really emphasize that, because when they really feel valued, they're going to want to come back. They're going to remember how they felt. And just think about like the first step, if you've gone to like Disneyland, when you walk in through Disneyland, like how does that first moment of like seeing everything and hearing that music, how does that make you feel? Mm. So every detail matters, in my opinion. And even it comes down to even like the blanket. Like I will drop $300 on a blanket on a bed if it means that it's weighted and it's soft and my clients are going to touch it and they're going to feel it and they're going to remember and they're going to say the next time they come in, oh, I can't wait to get in that warm bed with the cozy blanket.
So true.
Yeah.
It's all about those small details. They make such a big difference.
I really think that like when they walk in, they need to see like, you know, your brand and you, and how do you look and how are you, how do you smell? All of these things really play into it. Just that bit, that memory.
I also love how you said, Iman, they won't always remember what you said, but they are always going to remember how they feel in your space mm-hmm. and how you make them feel, you know? So that's great.
Yeah.
So in your opinion, what are the most important traits and skills of esthetician who want to cultivate great relationships?
So I think that the best estheticians that want to make a really nice relationship with their client, it's just about making that client feel heard and comfortable and valued. Like I said, like they need to feel like they are your priority from that very first moment. But it should be that way all throughout. And every time they come visit you and all that, you need to like really take the time to like listen closely to what they need, personalize a treatment plan. Like, it's not a one size fits all. We all know that, obviously. We need to create a space that someone comes in and they feel like they're at ease and there's no judgment, for example. And, you know, being able to connect with clients too. You know, they come in and they look at my, for example, they look at my skin and they're like, oh, like, you must have nice skin all the time. But, you know, I try to tell them, no, I've been in your shoes. Like, I have my goals. I have my things that I want to work on with my skin. And for them, if you have that, if you're able to like create that connection, that kind of starts that like relationship with them. But there's all the, there's also like other things that you should do to kind of build that relationship. Having a good attitude, being patient with them, putting in a little bit of extra work with the little details, just remembering them, asking them personal questions, and then remembering those when they come in. They just love that. So,
yeah, like things like, do they prefer hot water over cold water, or like coffee over tea? Or, I mean, those little things go a long way.
Oh, absolutely. And if you have those kinds of things ready for them when they come in the next time, they feel so special. So, and that's how they should feel.
Those are absolutely amazing.
One thing that I just want to kind of like piggyback off of that is like what you shouldn't do. And I just, my mind goes immediately to like our phones, right? And like giving our undivided attention to our client and not being distracted with your late client that's texting you like, hey, I'm running late, or like, you know, those little distractions that take away from the moment of connection in the present, right?
Oh, absolutely. For yeah. Sure. Like, obviously emergencies happen. I mean, I've had my son's school call me while I'm working and you got to take that call. But at this end of the day, like, and that makes you feel, they feel like you're more human in that sense, but to be sitting there and just browsing or doing this and that, you never want to do stuff like that.
Definitely.
So what does your brand stand for in connections with your client base?
So I guess one of the first things I did when I started my solo business was think of accessibility. I was not in a place in my life that I could have self-care done unless I did like a trade. So I wanted to be able to offer something to my clients that most people maybe like couldn't have. At the time, you know, I wasn't able to invest in like a hydrofacial, for example. Yeah, I built that slowly. So I got a wet leg dermabrasion machine. And I always wanted to be able to price things where, you know, maybe like a stay-at-home mom versus a working mom could afford or have or, you know, experience. And so, and I feel like, you know, luxury things should be accessible to clients. So that was a really big foundation for me. And I still offer that now, you know, even with my business being more elevated in terms of skincare, you know, having accessibility with products that could be, you know, range from a $40 moisturizer to a $200 moisturizer. It just kind of depends, and you have all that. So for me and my clients know that when they come in, that's part of that consultation and building that relationship. I tell them I have things that are on all the whole spectrum, and I just like to know kind of where you're at with your budget and what's sustainable for you long term. That way I can curate, you know, a regimen based on that. You know, there's going to be things that are high end that are obviously going to be better for you because they're going to do XYZ. But the things that are here that could be, you know, more in your budget, they're still going to work great. It's still going to work better than what you can get at Sephora. So, you know, let's create that. So I think when they come in and they feel like the space is made so it's, we can curate things based on what they need and not just me shoving, you know, $200 moisturizers down their throats, then they like that. So I feel like my brand is definitely like accessibility. That was just a really big word for me that I wanted to make sure that people felt and knew from day one.
Yeah. So you're keeping everybody in mind, right? Like, nobody likes walking into a place and feeling intimidated. Like, oh my God, this is so fancy. Like I don't even want to touch anything. Like,
yeah.
You know. So it's, yeah, I think that's awesome that you're really, you're considering everybody. Yeah, that's great. How can estheticians move beyond just providing services and truly get to know their clients on a deeper level?
So this one's really fun. So, you know, the first time clients come in, I try to connect with them on a very professional level. So we try to, you know, I'm just talking about their skin and this and that. And I just wait and see where the conversation goes. Sometimes they'll want to ask about me, my life, my business, my blah, blah, blah. And I answer pretty short, but I always try to flip that back on them to see, you know, because people love to talk about themselves. So that's one of the biggest things with conversation that you have to keep in mind. So always flip that and try to have them talk about themselves. You are an active listener at this point. You want to engage in meaningful conversations with them, things about their lives, their hobbies, what's important to them, how their day is, what they're doing this weekend, things like that. Just keep it going. But it's also really important to read the room. Sometimes people want to come in and be quiet and relax and all of that too. So that's really important. And then being, like I said, being a really active listener, listening to them about their goals, their health, their remembering previous conversations. That's so important. And then of course, the biggest one, this is like put star next to it, is follow-up. Follow-up is what really, I feel like that's what's going to get your clients to rebook. That's what's going to get people to feel like they have a genuine connection, especially if you remember something. Like, let's say that was their birthday or the next day was their birthday. And they were like, yeah, I'm going to go out to dinner with my friends. And they told you where they were going to go. Maybe you were interested in that restaurant or something. And then you could, you know, be like, hey, how are you? I'm just checking in to see how your birthday went. How was that restaurant? Let me know how that was. And then maybe follow up with a question about their skin. I hope you enjoyed your facial. Let me know if you have any questions about anything. I'm here to help you. I almost create like that at the end, almost like a, hey girl, like I'm here for you anytime, but try to keep it super professional too. And you have to also read the room. Like, you know, my clients that are in their 20s, I'm definitely going to interact with them a lot differently than my clients who are a little older and perhaps want more of that like professional feel. And that's the nice thing about having like your own personal brand is you create, you know, it doesn't have to be doctor's office, medical, you know,
right,
stick by the book. You do what you want. So, but yeah, like just personalizing, being conversating, and just really making that client feel like they're your BFF.
Love that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch on something that you said, because I think that when it comes to like active listening and you get your client on the table and they lay down and you do get them talking, even the things that they're directly telling you, if you are a good active listener, you can pick up on things that they're not like directly saying. You know what I mean? The in-between stuff that they might not even realize, that you're like, okay, this is what she's saying, but this is what she really means type of thing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listening more than talking can really build a better relationship in general.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And honestly, I'll tell you something, like this is not something that I was good at all. This has been, you know, I've been in this industry since 2010, and I'm an introvert. I'm very like passive, all of that. But then being able to be comfortable and like listening to people and then talking to them made me feel a lot more comfortable in asking questions, and kind of just the more you do it, the better it gets, the easier it gets. And just being able to, like what you were saying, like being able to read between the lines, right?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was trying to say.
Yeah. So, and it just gets easier as you practice, just like everything else.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. So when you were talking about reaching out to your clients and following up, I'm sure there's a lot of like text messaging going on, but do you ever do like thank you cards or client appreciation events, or what kind of things have worked for you?
So I typically do things like I do send text messages to my clients as thank yous. I have an automated thing that my booking system does where it will tell them, you know, especially if they haven't been in a while, like, hey, miss you, how are you doing? Thank you so much for being a client of ours, you know. And then you can piggyback on that in terms of like business. So you could either offer them a discount to come back, which people love, or be like, you know, I know you, like, especially if you have seen someone before, you could ask them for, you know, Google review at that point. But just also just making a genuine connection with them and saying like, thank you. I do send text messages to my clients, especially if they've referred people. And I do incentivize that too. The thing that I do though, is I love to reward my clients for their loyalty. Sometimes when they come in, I will give them a product for free, or I will give them a discount for whatever, or, you know, if they're interested in something, maybe I'll give them the product for half off to try it out or something. You know, I try to do stuff to my clients while they're here and present as a thank you. A lot of times too, I might give them an add-on or something like that, that is they, and they love that. They feel so appreciated and all of that. And I know like thank you cards are fantastic because they, you know, when you receive them, but what happens to a thank you card a lot of times?
We toss them in the trash.
Exactly. So I want to give them something meaningful. And I personally, I this might be really selfish of me, but I love seeing someone smile in front of me. So like, I don't really love sending a gift. I love to give the gift because I love to see the reaction and the smile. So it's kind of the same way. Same thing here too.
I love that. That's sweet. This isn't like a scheduled question, but I'm curious from a business aspect, how is that factored into like your bottom line? Like, how are you still making money? How are you still making it worth your while and making money for your business, but also taking care of your clients?
Yeah, that's a great question. So it ultimately depends on what it is, right? So a lot of times when, let's say when I've bought bulk in skincare or even with like supplies, sometimes they give us things for free. For example, Black Friday, it's like buy six, get two free. Let's just say that. Okay. So now I have two items that I did not pay for. I can either sell them for profit. I could tell my client, hey, you know, like if you really want to try this as a gift to you, I'll give it to you for 50% off. Well, there you go. Something for free. I still got half of that back in terms of the cost, right? Or I could just give it to them. You know, the thing is you have to think about the client that has come to you and they have spent like thousands and thousands of dollars. What is, you know, 20 extra dollars that you give them at that point, if that keeps them happy and keeps them coming back, right? And then they refer people and all that. It's just think of it as a marketing cost. Put that in if you're going to put it in as a loss somewhere. I don't really put it as a loss. I just say it's part of my marketing. Like that's the best way to do it. You know, a lot of my marketing, I don't really pay for it. It's word of mouth. It's referral based. So if I can do something to make a client happy to get them to come back or send friends, then that's fantastic.
Do you have any tips for SDs to maintain professionalism while fostering like a warm, friendly relationship with their client?
Yeah. So I think like the first thing first is to make sure that you're booking your that part of your business where it's like, this is actually one of the first impressions that you do, is very like clear cut, and that you set those boundaries like first thing. So for me, my I've gotten it so my booking system will send a message when people book, and it'll say, this is how you book your appointment. You have to pay a deposit, and it's really small, but that keeps them serious and know that we're about that business, right? And then it says, please make sure you familiarize yourself with the policies. Policies.
Yeah.
This is super duper important. I know we have all been in a position where we've had a client try to like, you know, push those boundaries a little bit. Mm-hmm. So what's the best thing to do is be like, hey, these are my rules. Okay. So the boundaries are like those policies. And when I hope clients are reading them. I mean, when I book something with someone, I'm reading their policies. I want to know if I have 48 hours or 72 hours if something comes up and I have to reschedule or whatever. But I think that sets the tone, and that makes it so people aren't going to sit there and try to like, oh, I'm so sorry, like I'm canceling today, you know, and
right,
and all that. So setting a boundary early, but making it so it's like friendly still, approachable. Like I'm not going to sit here and tell my clients, did you read my policies? But hopefully they did, you know. That's a really important part of like sending that professionalism first. On top of that, I would say just, again, like active listening, not oversharing on your part, being really careful about that, like, personal life boundary too, and not, you know, giving too much. Now, my clients who have come like so many times, we get on a very personal level. We start talking about family and, you know, what makes us tick and all of that. Also just being really respectful. And on that's on a personal note, and not just with their skin, but like on a personal note too. Mm-hmm. Mindfulness of being like what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Staying positive, even when it's really hard. In this industry, you know, we clients come in and they lay down and then they spill. They pour into you, right? Like where a lot of us are, we just soak in that energy. We have to remember to try to stay as positive as it is, as positive as hard as it is, and to maintain a really like professional and calm demeanor, even if we don't agree with our clients. Ever, were you, remember like during COVID and there was so much going on in the world and politically and all that, and people would come in and they'd just start talking about all of it and how hard that was for us.
So as if we weren't just like immersed in it already.
Like you're on client number five of the day and it's the same conversation, but maybe like a different viewpoint, and you're like, okay, I'm exhausted. So
Like, how do you navigate out of that and switch the subject?
Exactly. Yeah. So like just trying to be able to like maintain, redirect all that. But being really like, you know, understanding too. Sometimes people just want to talk about it. They're sad. They don't have anyone else to talk about it with. And you are that person to them. So that's important. But yeah, during that time, I actually ended up making an email. I sent out an email and a post on social media. And I said, please, absolutely no talk of COVID and absolutely no talk of politics. I don't want to hear it. I don't care where you lie.
Good for you.
I don't care.
And people setting those boundaries.
Sounding those boundaries. I think that's like I said, that was like the number one thing. But yeah, and then just maintain like mastering the art of small talk, like I was saying, and it gets better as we do it over and over again. The follow-up, super important too. And just respecting client time, like you were saying with the whole thing with your phone, we want to make sure that we're giving them that time, we're being punctual. If you're going to be running late, let them know ahead of time, that way they feel like communicating and they feel like they're respected. But
communication goes a long way. I love good communication.
Absolutely. In every single relationship, whether it's like, you know, relationship with a partner, with family, with a client, like I think, and that goes back to kind of everything that we've talked about, is like a lot of it is communication. I guess that could be the golden word for the day.
Absolutely. Sure. Well, Iman, as we kind of close up this episode, we just want to give you a little time and space to share if you have anything like fun and exciting coming up, or any like sales or events or anything that you want to share. Now is your time.
I haven't really announced this yet. It's kind of been something that I've been working on for a little while, and some people know, some people don't, but Amora Aesthetics is actually expanding. It's so exciting. Actually, one of the instructors over at Spectrum right now, she was one of my employees, my first, very first employee until she had a baby. So, and she was a really big part of like what I envisioned at that point, what I wanted to do with the business. And so I just hired my second employee. She's my only employee at this time. And I'm just working on, the way I run my business is so different, I think, than what other people do, just because I've been doing it for so long and because I have been in so many different roles in this industry. And what I want to do with Amora is really big. And it's really hard for me as a one person and a control freak. I do everything myself, literally from my website, to my Insta, to everything. It's all me. It's too much. It's not sustainable. So Amora is expanding. I'm kind of giving some of those responsibilities to my employee. I'll be hiring more people, hopefully in the very near future. It's a really, really, really cool service that we're going to be providing in the new space. And I can't wait to tell you guys about it, but it's something that's not really offered here in Oregon, or at least on this level. So I'm excited to kind of to show you guys what that is here in a few months. But yeah, we're working on a big project right now in opening that. So a lot of fun things are coming. So that's kind of tied me to not, I don't think I'll be able to do another spring event this year, but probably in the summer. So mm-hmm. I would love for you guys to come yes. and be a part of that. So I'll keep you guys in the loop for sure, but more info to come on all that.
Awesome. Well, we're rooting for you, Iman.
Thank you.
Tell the listeners where they can connect with you, what your handles are.
Call me old school. I don't really do TikTok. I do have a TikTok, but I don't even know how to use it. So I'm on Instagram. My Instagram is amora.aesthetics, and you can connect with me there. I love connecting with other estheticians. Send me a DM. We can talk. If you have questions, feel free to ask. Like I said, I've been doing a lot of different things in this industry, and some people will message me and ask me questions, and then I get another response, and they're like, wow, I didn't really think that you were going to respond, because other estheticians don't. I don't know why people do this, but just ask. I love answering questions. I love helping. I love creating relationships. And then I love making friends, especially because in this industry, it's like a lot of outsiders don't understand what we do, how mm-hmm. it impacts our day to day. Other business professionals do. So why aren't we making friends with esthetician down the street, you know? Like, it's actually so much fun to collaborate like that. So yes, feel free to find me. I do have a Facebook as well. And I would love for any Oregon estheticians to join the Oregon estheticians group. It's a little baby group. You can also find that link on my Instagram. And so I'm trying to get it to a point where people are using it for resources and collaboration and all of that kind of stuff. So please feel free to join and join the conversation.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing. Asia, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Aesthetics by Asia LLC.
And then you can find me on Instagram at True Skin Lab. And of course, tap in with us at Fearless Beauty's Instagram. So it's been real, Iman. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your wisdom. And we'll be rooting for you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.